Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Chav Tet Amud Bet. Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Amr lo echad yavne, v'echad kol makom sheyesh bo beitin. Amr Rav Huna, and Rav Huna qualifies this statement with regards to a beitin, ve'im beitin, that it has to be with beitin. Mai ve'im beitin. What does that mean, that it has to be with beitin that we blow the shofar? Bifnei beitin, in front of beitin. La'afuke, that would come to exclude shelo bifnei beitin delo, that if you're not in front of the beitin, then you're not allowed to blow the shofar. So meiti Rava asks, the od zot, our Mishnah says with regards to the differentiation between Yushalayim and Yavna, it says, ba'od zot haita Yushalayim yetera al Yavna. This is something that Yushalayim had on top of Yavna. Mai ba'od zot. What does it mean, in addition? In addition means that it's something beyond what we just had before. We already had a differentiation, and now we're adding an additional differentiation. Ilei makediktani, if you say just what's written there, zot mi ba'ilei, it just should have said zot. This is the difference, not ba'od zot, in addition, this is the difference. So originally, our understanding of the Mishnah was that when we say echad yavna ve'echad kol makom sheyesh bo beitin, Rav Huna qualifies and says, what does that mean, kol makom sheyesh bo beitin? That means in Beitin or Bifnei Beitin, in front of Beitin. But then we have the next statement in the Mishnah, what was that? That they only did it in front of Beitin and Yavne. Now, the way that Rav Huna is explaining the Mishnah, then the first statement of Beitin means you have to do it in front of Beitin. And then Va'odzot is also telling you that you have to do it in front of Beitin. So Rava says that doesn't make sense, because Va'odzot seems to imply that there's an additional difference between them. Ella, so what are you going to suggest the additional difference is? So the differentiation, besides the fact that it has to be with the Beitin versus the areas that are around Yerushalayim and Yavne, it's only in the Beitin, the additional difference will be that in Yerushalayim the Yechidim are Tokim, whereas in Yavne the Yechidim individuals cannot be Tokeya. Where it says that can't be possible, because if Yavne ain't Tokim Yechidim, is it really possible that in Yavne there were not Yechidim blowing? Finished blowing the shofar in Yavna. First, he could not hear his own ears, his own voice. From the blowing of all the shofarot of the Yechidim. So the Yechidim who either missed the blowing during the Chazarat HaShatz, they missed the Tzibur, or they wanted to have extra tekiot or extra kolot, for whatever reason, they were blowing. So you see that Yechidim are blowing. So that's not the distinction. Ella, Lav, this must be the distinction. To be Yerushalayim Tokim ben bizman beitin ben shelo bizman beitin. The additional difference between Yerushalayim and Yavna is that in Yerushalayim they blew whether beitin was in session or whether beitin was out of session. In addition to that, you have the other difference, which is the areas around it are also captured by the din of Yerushalayim. But Yavna, it has two things that are unique to it. One is bizman beitin in, shelo bizman beitin lo. Only when Beitin is in session, yes. When it's out of session, no. But there is no requirement of Bifnei Beitin, that it'll be in front of Beitin. So the only requirements are that Beitin is in session. And number two is that it's only those people that are found in the city of Yavna itself. But the fact that you need to be Bifnei Beitin, that's not true, because we see that all the Yechidim are blowing in Yavna. It says, well, you don't have to read it that way. Dilu b'Yerushalayim Tokim ben Bifnei Beitin ben Shelo Bifnei Beitin. When it comes to Yerushalayim, you blow whether it's in front of Beitin or whether it's anywhere in the city. Whereas, b'yavne b'fnei Beitin in, shelo b'fnei Beitin lo. In front of Beitin, yes. Shelo b'fnei Beitin, no. And what, you're going to say that, what about the Yechidim and Yavne? The Yechidim and Yavne blew in front of Beitin. You're right. They can blow the Yechidim as long as they're in front of Beitin. They can blow. So that's not a problem. Those Yechidim blew in front of Beitin. So the differentiation between Yavne and Yerushalayim will be along the lines of what Rav Huna said before, which is, Yerushalayim incorporates not only itself with the areas around it, and number two is you can blow ben bifnei beitin or shelo bifnei beitin, whether you're in front of beitin or not. Whereas Yavne has the requirement that you only blow bifnei beitin. It has to be right in front of beitin, in addition to the fact that it doesn't draw along the areas that are around it, only the city itself. Some people just put this short statement of Rav Huna on another din, which is dichtiv b'yom ha'kiburim taviru shofar b'chol ha'artzichem, that you have to blow a shofar all around the land on Yom Kippur of the Yovel. Sounds like every individual has to blow the shofar, and that's even when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbat. So Rav Huna, v'im beitin, he has this qualification with beitin. My v'im beitin, what does it mean in this context? Zman beitin, when the beitin is in session. Hafukei shelo bezman beitin, to exclude the case where it's not a beitin to low, that you're not allowed to blow it. So only when beitin is in session can the yechidim blow the shofar on Yovel, then Yom HaKippurim falls out on Shabbat. So meiti rovo, is that really true? Tegiat Yovel, duchet ha-Shabbat bigbulim, ish ubeito. So when you blow the shofar on the Yovel, it's dochet ha-Shabbat in the gbulim, outside of Yerushalayim, ish ubeito, a person and his household. My ish ubeito. What does it mean, a person in his household? Ilema ish vishto, it's talking about a man and his wife. Ita dami mechaivo. Why are you talking about his wife? It's a mitzvah that says she's man grama, his wife's not involved. Va mitzvah that says she's man grama hi, v'chol mitzvah that says she's man grama nashim pturot. She is patur from this, so that can't be what it's speaking about. The love ish ubeito means a man and his household means in his house. Va filu shelo bizman beitin, even at the time when beitin is not in session. Where it says lo. The olam bizman beitin. It's at the time that beitin is in session. Then he can blow. He doesn't have to blow it in front of beitin. He can blow it in his household. But as long as beitin is in session, meitiv Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet challenges this and says, our Mishnah says shaveh yovel the Rosh Hashanah the tkiyah ul the brachot. The Rosh Hashanah and the yovel are equated for tkiyot and for brachot. Ela shbe yovel togim ben bebeitin shekidshu bo et achodesh ben bebeitin shelo kidshu bo et achodesh. There is a difference that in yovel, you can blow whether it's a Beit Din that was Mekadesh L'Chodesh or whether it's a Beit Din that was not Mekadesh L'Chodesh. V'chol yachid v'yachid chayav litkoa. And every individual is chayav to blow the shofar on Yom HaKippurim. U'b'rosh Hashanah lo yotukim el Beit Din shekidshu bo et HaChodesh. They only blow in a Beit Din that is Mekadesh L'Chodesh, like Yavne. V'enko yachid v'yachid chayav litkoa. And not every individual is chayav to blow. So my enko yachid yachid chayav litkoa. What does it mean that not every individual is chayav to blow? If you want to explain that statement and say, on Rosh Hashanah, the Yechidim, individuals, don't blow, but on Yom Kippur, they do blow. The same story that we saw before, that in Yavne, when the Shliach Tzibur finished blowing the shofar, from the blowing of the shofar of the individuals, Elalav. But it must be that in Yovel you blow when Beit Din is in session, when it's out of session. Only when Beit Din is in session can you blow, but outside of that, no. Tani mihat, but you can see from this, or you would conclude from this, that by Yovel, you can blow ben bizman Beit Din, ben shlo bizman Beit Din. You can blow whether Beit Din is in session or not, which would go against that qualification of Rav Huna. But it says, lo, the olam bizman Beit Din. It's at the time that Beit Din is in session. V'achitani, and this is the difference. B'yovel b'zman Beit Din tokim ben bifnei Beit Din ben shelo bifnei Din. When Rosh Hashanah, when the Beit Din is in session, then you can blow in front of the Beit Din in Yovel. When the Beit Din is in session, you can blow whether you're in front of Beit Din or whether you're not in front of Beit Din. Rosh Hashanah tokim b'zman Beit Din u'bifnei Beit Din. You need both qualifications. It has to be at the time Beit Din is in session, plus it has to be in front of Beit Din. So from the conclusion here, we would say that Yom Kippur, you have the requirement of Bizman Beit Din, like Rav Huna says. But when it's Zman Beit Din, you don't have to blow in front of Beit Din. You can blow it in your house. That's what Ishu Beito means. You can blow in your house as long as Beit Din is in session. You don't have to be in front of the Beit Din. You can be anywhere you want and blow it as long as it's in session. With Rosh Hashanah, you have both requirements. You have a requirement of Bizman Beit Din, the time that Beit Din is in session. In addition to that, you have a requirement that it be done Bifnei Beit Din. Now, Bifnei Beit Din and Bizman Beit Din, even Yechidim can do it. And I'll explain why in Yavna the Yechidim were blowing the shofar. Itmar Nami, we have a similar Amoraic statement that supports this. Amar Bchir Bar Gamda, Amar Yossi Ben Shaul, Amar Rabbi, Ein Togim Ela Kol Zman Shebeit Din Yoshvin. You only blow the shofar when Beit Din is in session. By Rabbi Zeiro, Rabbi Zeiro asks, Nin Arul Amod V'lo Amdu. They ended their session, but they haven't yet stood up. Mahu, what's the din? Beit Din Yoshvim Be'inan, Vaiga, you need Beit Din to be seated, and they are sitting. Odima Zman Beit Din Beit Din Be'inan Veleka. Or maybe you need Beit Din to be in session. They've ended their session, they're no longer in session, and therefore it doesn't work anymore. Teiku, we don't have an answer to that question. That is an unresolved issue as to when the Beit Din being in session terminates. Does it have to do when they stop the session, or does it have to do when they actually get up to leave? Now, the Gemara says that those qualifications that we mentioned in the Mishnah are not mutually exclusive, and that you need all of those qualifications in order to blow like Yerushalayim, which is Ru'ah, Prat Yosheva Ben Achal. You have to be able to see Yerushalayim. So if you live down in the valley and you can't see Yerushalayim, no good. Shomat, that you can hear from there, Prat Yosheva Rosh Ahar. Someone lives up on a high mountaintop can see Yerushalayim from far away, but they can't hear it. Krova, Prat Yoshevet Chutz L'Tchum. That comes to include someone's outside of the Tchum. Bechalol Evo, that they can come. Prat L'Mafsik L'Nara. That comes to exclude someone who has a river between them. So you need all of the qualifications in order to be drawn along with Yushalayim, which means you have to be Karov, you have to be proximate. Number two is you have to be Shomat, you have to be able to hear what's going on in Yushalayim from where you are. Number three is you have to be within the Tchum of Yerushalayim. Number four is you'd have to be accessible to you. You have to be able to get there without doing any Isurim or crossing any rivers. And number five is that it has to be visible. You have to be able to see Yerushalayim. So you have all those qualifications, then you're drawn along with Yerushalayim to have the same din as Yerushalayim. Obviously, all of this is contingent on what we said in the Mishnah itself as to what the meaning of Mikdash is. Does Mikdash mean Mikdash itself, or does Mikdash mean Yerushalayim? Now the next Mishnah. It's another Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that we're familiar with from the Gemara in Sukkah. Originally, when the Mikdash was extant, they took the Lulav in the Mikdash all 7 days, and outside of the Mikdash, Yom Echad. And that's because it says in the Pasuk, so that means there's a requirement to take it on Yom HaRishon. Now, at the end of the Pasuk, it says, so Lifnei Hashem L'Kaychem is only Shivat Yomim. For 7 days, you take the Lulav Lifnei Hashem, which means in the Mikdash. Outside of the Mikdash, you only take it one day, which is V'lakachtem Lechem by Yom HaRishon. Again, this is subject to the same machloket as to whether Mikdash here includes Yerushalayim or not. The Rambam says yes, whereas Rashi and others say no. Mishcharav Beit HaMikdash, after the Churban HaBayit, Hidkin Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Sheed Lulav Nital B'Medinah Shiv'ah Zeichel HaMikdash. So therefore, he was Mitakein after the Churban HaBayit, that they take it in the Gvulin, like our practice today, all 7 days, Zeichel HaMikdash. Vishehe Yom HaNeif Kulo Asur. In addition to that, he was Mitakein that the 16th of Nisan, when the Omer is brought and Chadash becomes Mutar, that when the Mikdash was destroyed and they no longer brought the Korban HaOmer, the whole 16th, the entire day was Asur to Chadash, and you could only start eating Chadash after the passing of the entire day of the 16th, which the Gemara will explain in a second. So the Gemara says, Uminolon davdinan zeichel mikdash. How do you know that we should do anything that zeichel mikdash? Damakra, because the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, ki aale arukalach umi makotayech epraech neum Hashem. When I start to heal you and I bring cures to your wounds, Hashem says, ki nidacha karulach tzionhi doresh enla. Because Tzion was called the one that was cast away, there was nobody who inquired about it. So the pasuk indicates that during the prior time when the Korban HaBayit takes place, the Bnei Israel are kicked out, before Hashem brings back and cures and heals everybody, there'll be a period of time when Tzion will be cast aside and nobody will inquire about it. So from that, we make a diuk, t'michlal, the Bayit Rishon, that it should have been inquired about or people should look into it. And so how do we do that? We do zeichel HaMikdash, which means that we remember Tzion, we remember the Mikdash. She'enu m'neif kulo asur. My time. Why is it that he made the whole 16 asura to Chadash? Behira yibane beit mikdash v'yomru. And they'll say, Eshtekah milo achalnu behira mizrach, that last year, didn't we eat at dawn on the 16th? Akshav namir nechol. Today, we'll also eat on the dawn of the 16th. V'lo yade, and they won't know, the Eshtekah lo aviomer. The previous year, the mikdash wasn't extant, it wasn't rebuilt, and therefore there was no Korban HaOmer. And therefore, when the sun rises or the dawn breaks on the 16th, you're mutar bechadash. That's why here mizrach hitir. That's mutar. Hashto deika omer. Now that there's the omer, omer matir, you have to wait until the Korban HaOmer is brought. Now it's true that beitin were not mitatzlin bazeh, and they would bring it by chatzot hayom. So at least until chatzot hayom, you have to be asur because we're afraid they're going to build a mikdash, and the people won't know the rule because of the way they practiced the year before. And the way that they're learning the pasuk of etzim ayom hazeh means the middle of this day. But the middle of the day is ad velo ad bichlal, not including the middle of the day. So ad etzim ayom hazeh means at dawn, you are mutar. Elim kein, you're bringing the omer, then you're only mutar after the omer. So the fear is, if that we let you practice every year, heir amizrach, then all of a sudden when the mikdash is rebuilt and we don't have time to tell everybody about the information, they'll eat on dawn of that morning of the 16th before the Omer is brought, and that'll be incorrect in that year. Where it says, the Mivnei Eimat, when is the Mikdash built? Ilema de Ivnei Bishitzar, if it was built on the 16th, Harei Harir Mizrach, Hitir. If it's built on the 16th, then once dawn broke on the 16th, it was already Mutar before the Mikdash was finished. Ela de Ivnei Bechamesar, it was built on the 15th. So built on the 15th, Mechatzot Yom, Ulahalan Tishtare. then at least from noontime and on, it should be mutar. That's not. Because we have a Mishnah that I mentioned before, rechokim mutarim mechatzot yom lahalan. People who don't live near the Mikdash can assume that from chatzot and onward, they are mutar in chadash. Lefi she'im beitin mitatzlim bo. Beitin is not mitatzel, and they for sure will have the omer done by noon on that day. It says, lo, nitzrucha de'ivne, either b'chameisar, samuch l'shkiyat ha'chama. It was built on the 15th, going to the 16th, right by sunset. Inami, other possibility is the Ibn Belalia. It was built at night on the 16th. And therefore, the Beit Din had not enough time to prepare the Omer. They have to harvest the Omer. They have to roast the kernels, and then they have to dry them out, and then they have to mill them into flour for the Omer. And that takes a lot of time. And therefore, if the Mikdash was only finished late on the 15th or early on the 16th at night, they won't have sufficient time to get it done by Chatzot. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan put in this Gzeira that the entire 16th is a sword to protect Beit Din in the future in case the Mikdash is built. Now, Rashi asked the question here, which is obvious. What do you mean the 15th? We're talking about the 15th of Nisan. The 15th of Nisan is the first day of Chag HaMatzot, the first day of Pesach. So how could they be building the Mikdash on the first day? How could it be finished on the first day of Pesach? Now, that's despite the fact that Gemara in Shavuot says that there is no Binyan Beit HaMikdash at night. And there is no binyan of Beit HaMikdash on Yom Tov. So how do we reconcile between the Gemara in Shavuot and Gemara here in Rosh Hashanah? So Tosafot in the Gemara in Shavuot and Rashi over here say the same thing, which is, La'atid lavo, the binyan Beit Hashi, will be done ayidei Hashem. It will be come down from the heavens, be'esh, in a fire, and won't be done bidei Adam. The restriction of building the Mikdash on Shabbat, or on Yom Tov, or at night, it only applies to human building of the Mikdash. But over here we're talking about the miraculous building of the Mikdash, Yedei Hashem, and therefore it's not subject to those rules of not being built on Yom Tov and not being built at night. There are a large number of Rishonim that disagree with that approach and think that the Bayit HaShlishi will take place Bidei Adam. And in that case you have a Machloket HaSugyot, one Sugya that believes that Binyan Beit Atid Lavo, like in Rosh Hashanah and Sukkah, will be Ayidei Hashem, and the Sugyan Shavuot that thinks that the Binyan Beit HaShlishi will Ayidei Adam. It happens to be interesting that we in Nachem on Tisha B'Av take the position of Rashi and Tosafot, and we say in Nachem that just like the Mikdash went up in flames, it will come down in flames, Atid Lavo, implying that the Mikdash will come down miraculously. Which is interesting that we only go with the minority view of the poskim, who say that it's going to come bidei shemayim, rather than the majority view of the poskim, that the binyan bayit shlishi will be done bidei adam. Now, it's probably, or all likelihood, that the Nachem was created, penned in a time when Jews did not live in Israel, Jews did not have any hopes of building a mikdash, and therefore they only saw, or their only hope was, a binyan bayit that would be done ayidei Hashem. But now that the Jews have returned to Israel, and there is more reality or possibility that Jews could actually build the Bayit HaShlishi, at least theoretically, then maybe the other deot makes sense. And you might have to say that the Nachem that we quote over there, that Be'esh Hitzita, or Be'esh Nivneta, is more of a Mlitza, is a derech of a parable, not that literally it'll come down in fire like those shitot, but rather the fire symbolizes the new era, and the return, the redemption of Bnei Yisrael, and the return of the Mikdash. But in all likelihood, it seems that Nachem follows this position of Rashi and Tosafot here, that the Binyan Latid Lavo will be a Binyan that is miraculous. Now the Gemara continues and says, V'Nachman Yitzhak Amar Rabbi Yochman Zakai B'Shitat Rabbi Yehuda Amra. Rabbi Yochman Amar Zakai's position is said in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, it's a Machloket in the Gemara in Menachot, which is the Amar, Ad Etzemei Yom Hazeh. What does it mean, Ad Etzemei Yom Hazeh? You can't eat Chadash at Itzimo Shel Yom, until the middle of the day. Kvasavar, Ad V'Ad Bichlau. Ad V'Ad Bichlau means until, Etzem is the middle, Ad V'Ad Bichlau will be until the end of the day. You can look at noontime as being Etzemei Yom Hazeh. If you say Ad V'Lo Ad Bichlau, that means Harir Mizrach. If you say Ad V'Ad Bichlau, that means all the way until the evening. What he's suggesting now is Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and he's telling you that the whole day is Asur because of the fact that you have to wait until nighttime, when there is no Mikdash. Mar says, Umi Savar La Kavadei. Ba Mifleg Poligale. What do you mean he holds like him? He argues on him. Titnan, our Mishnah says, Mishchara Beit HaMikdash Itkin Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai She'ei Noma Neif Kulo Asur. He put in place a Takana. It's not Midoraita. The way that Rabbi Yehuda reads it, Mina Torah, when you don't have an Omer, it's Asur until the end of the day, the 16th. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai is only making an Asur to the end of the day, the 16th, because of a Takana, not because it's Doraita. And in the Braita, Rabbi Yehuda challenges Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's position, saying that it's really Doraita. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Asur mi Doraita until the end of the day. I says, Haltamu Rabbi Yehuda de Katoi. When Rabbi Yehuda challenges Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he misunderstood. He was saying Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai mi Rabbanon Kamar. He was saying this is a rabbinic institution. Velohi mi Doraita Kamar. He means it's a Torah institution. Va hitkin tani. What are you going to do with the fact that it says hitkin, that he put into place in Takana? My hitkin, darash hitkin. He was goresh, the pasuk, the way the Rabbi Yehuda is, and therefore he is mitakein, that that's the way it should be. Mitakein, not in the sense of Takana, but rather to establish or understand properly how one understands that pasuk to mean, adetzim ayom hazeh, means until the end of that day. And therefore, mina Torah, it's asur until the end of the day, according to this view, when there's no Omer. And when there is an Omer, then it's asur until they bring the Omer, with the assumption being that the Omer is brought by Chatzot Yom. And you won't have to worry about the Binyan Beit HaMikdash, because in the other years, they had to wait until the end of the 16th. Of course, the Omer is brought on the 16th. So it only could be earlier than they practiced in the past, not later than they practiced in the past. And therefore, there's nothing to worry about in case the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt. According to the first version, it was mutar from here in Mizrach after there was no more Omer. The reason that Rabbi Yochanan was mitakin the gzeira is because of the possibility of the binyan abayit, where people would have in mind that they did it this way last year and they'll be wrong because it was built with short notice and Beit Din won't have enough time to bring the Omer until late on the day of the 16th. And because of that, they'll be mistaken in the year that the Mikdash is built. So we put a takana in place to make sure that people didn't eat until the end of the day of the 16th, which is our practice, that we don't eat chadash till the end of the day of the 16th. Next Mishnah. Berishuna, you mekablim eduta chodesh kol ayom. Originally, they used to take eduta chodesh on the 30th day of the month, all day, because then they could establish that day as Rosh Chodesh, and then the previous month would only be 29 days, and that'd be the first day of the new month. Pamachat nishtawa edim ilavo. The edim tarried to come, v'nitgalgalu alevim bishir. And the levim got mixed up with the shir. So the problem is that they came very late in the day, after what seems to be the tamid shel ben arabayim. And therefore, the Levim said the wrong shear with regards to the Qurban, and they didn't want that to happen in the future. So then, hitkinu, shaloye mekablim el adam mincha. They made a takana that Edim will only be accepted until mincha time, so they could proceed and finish off the avod of the Mikdash without any worries that that day would become Rosh Chodesh. If Edim did show up after mincha time, noagim oto ayom kadosh tulamachar kodesh. Even though they already established that that day won't be Rosh Hashanah, nevertheless they keep it Kodesh, and they keep the next day Kodesh. The reason they do that is because if they told people they don't have to keep the rest of the day Kodesh, people in the subsequent year will be mezalzin in Rosh Chodesh, or meaning Rosh Hashanah, and do avoda on the first day. They said last year we didn't do avoda in the beginning, and then we did it at the end, so why should we keep it? So they made sure that that day stayed Kodesh, so people in the future would always keep it Kodesh. And then the next day, the subsequent day, which then would be established as Rosh Chodesh, or Rosh Hashanah, would be Kodesh. Yishkara Beit HaMikdash. After the Churban HaBayit, Yitkin Rabban Yochanan Mitzagai, Shiyu Mekavlim Edut HaKodesh Kol Hayom. He instituted that they go back to the original, where they take Edut HaKodesh all day, because the Korbanot were no longer relevant. Being in the Levim getting mixed up with the Shir, or the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, none of that was relevant anymore, because there were no more Korbanot. So the institution of taking them only until Mincha didn't make sense, so therefore he extended it back to the original takana, or the original way that they did this, which was to accept Edim all day on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So now, my kilkul, kilkulu alevim bishir. What was it that went wrong with the shir of the levim? It says, ha'cha targimu. This is the way that they explained it in Bavel. Shelo amru shira kol ikar. They didn't say shira at all. Rabbi Zeira amar, shamru shira shel chol im tamid shel ben arbaim. So one Amora says they didn't say the Shira at all, because they didn't know what to say, so they didn't say anything. And one of them says they said the Shira of Chol with the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. So Amarlo Rabbi Zeira, the Ava Brei. Rabbi Zeira says to Ava's son, Pok Tani Lohu, go tell them, meaning that we have this Braita. Hikinu Shelo Yu Mekabli Meitu Do Chodesh, Elo Kedei Sheyu Shuhu Payom Lakriv Tamidim, Umisafim V'Nitzkehem. The reason they wanted to stop at Mincha time was so they have time to bring the Tamidim, the Musafim, and all the Nitzachim. V'lomar Shira Shelo Bishibosh, and to say the Shira without any mistakes. That they said the Shira of Kol Hainu Dika Shibush. That's why there was a mistake. If you say they didn't say it at all, my Shibushika, what type of mistake is there here? The Mar says, Kevin the Lomar Klau, Ein Lecha Shibush Godol Mizeh. Says, since they didn't say it at all, that's the biggest mistake you can make is not to say it. So that is a mistake. The Meiti Ravacha Baruna, Tamid Shel Rosh Hashanah Shacharit Karev Kehilchato. The Tamid, on the morning of Rosh Hashanah, they bring like a regular Tamid. Musaf Ma'u Omer. What is the Shir Shalayim of the Musaf? Harninu Elokim Uzenu Ariu Leluke Yaakov, which is the Shir Shel Yom of Rosh Hashanah Tehillim Pei Aleph, which we also say on Thursdays. Bemincha Ma'u Omer. At Mincha time, what Shira did they say on the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim? Kol Hashem Yachil Midbar, which talks about the Kolot Hashem, to talk about the Kol Shofar of Matan Torah, to mention those Chuyot in our favor. And we're going to see later on in the Masechta that it's also the Darshan from here, the structure of Shmona Esrei from this Perek in Tehillim. So that's also another factor here. What happens when Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday? Then the Tamid Shel Shachar, if you're going to say the regular weekday Yom on the Tamid Shel Shachar, then what are you going to say at Musaf? Because Musaf is supposed to be the one for Rosh Hashanah, but it's the same Perek Tehillim that you would say for Thursday morning. So Shir Shalom Harninu Lelukim Uzenu Lo Yomer B'Shachrid Harninu Mipnei Shechuzer B'Kofel Et HaPerek. He would not say the Thursday's Yom at Shacharit, because then you end up doing it again at Musaf Elama Omer. So then what do you do? Hasiroti Mishavu Shichmo. You take that part of the Tehillim, Hasiroti Mishavu Shichmo, which is that Hashem removed the burden, and we know that early on in the Masech we saw that Yosef came out of Beit HaSurim on Rosh Hashanah. Bimbau Eidim Achar Tamid Shel Shachar. And if the Eidim came after Tamid Shel Shachar, Omer Haninu Afu Bishecho Zerbiko Fel Et HaPerek. So if the Eidim came later and they didn't know it was Rosh Hashanah and it was Thursday, they say the regular Yom of Thursday. And then when it comes to Musaf, they'll say the same thing again. They'll double it up. So Yomar Bishlamal Kol Eichad Demistap Gomrinan Shira Dechol. If you say every time we have a Safek, we say the Shira of Kol, Hainu Tuomar Omro Vikoflo. That's why they said it in the Tamid Shel Shachar. And then they double it by Musaf, they say the same Shira. Eliyamar to lo amur kalal, if you say they don't say it at all, my omro vikoflo. What does it mean that they said it and then they doubled it up? Mar says, shiny otam, the shira di yomi. Wait a minute. Over there, it's no big deal. Because there, it is the right shira of the day. So on a day like Thursday, where the shira of the yom and the shira of Rosh Hashanah are the same, then why not say it at the Tamid Shel Shachar? And if you say it, you're going to be right either way. Either it's going to be Thursday or it's going to be Rosh Hashanah. And for both of them, it's correct. So in that case, they say it, and if it happens to be the Eidim come later, they'll double it up by Musaf. But on any other day of the week, if the Eidim have yet to come, they won't say Shira at all on the Yom, because they don't know what to say. So the Safek will say nothing, and then they'll wait and say the Shira on the Musaf. And that'll be the way that this Amora explains these different cases, to say that maybe the mistake here was that they didn't say the Shira at all. Because Rabbi Zera believes that they said the Shira, they just said the wrong Shira, they said Shira Shel Chol. Rabbi Zera brought two proofs to his side, and both times we rejected him and said we can even explain it according to the other, the Shita and Bavel, that said they didn't say it at all, who Rabbi Zera was trying to send his son Ava to tell them that they had it wrong. Now what's interesting about this whole sugya is that the Gemara is very focused on the problem of the Shira, of saying the wrong Shira. What about the fact that you have to bring the Musafim of Rosh Hashanah? What about the fact that once you brought the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, you can no longer bring any other Korbanot in the Mikdash? Why isn't the Mishnah worried about those issues? Why is it only worried about the issue of saying the Shira? So the truth is, if you look in the Rambam says that the Tekana was to protect against having them bring the Musafim after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. They wanted to get the Musafim in on time, and that's why they cut it off at Mincha, so they could bring the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim and finish off the day's work in the Mikdash and not have to worry that they'd have to bring the Musafim afterwards. So he focuses on the Musafim. But the problem is that our Mishnah says it's focused on the Shira. So you could answer that they're just telling you how far the problem. The problem is not only Musafim, but even the Shir. These are all these problems that come out of this. But according to Tosafot, the problem with Musafim is not so big, because even though there's a restriction against bringing additional Korbanot after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, nevertheless, when we have a Tzorech Rabim or a necessity, then that Aseh Dashlomo, that mitzvah Aseh not to bring anything after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, is waived. We have cases like that by the Korban HaPesach, by cases of Karet or Tarat Adam, that we waive that Aseh Shlama b'makom HaTzorech. So he says over here too, it's a makom HaTzorech, and they would bring the Musafim after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim if it was necessary. Now the truth is, they still need a lot of time to be able to do all of the Musafim and the Nisachim and everything like that. Tosafot makes one suggestion, maybe they brought the Musaf al Tnai, that that'll either be the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim or a Musaf. In the end, he rejects that, because then the Mishnah is wrong, because they didn't make the mistake about the Shir with the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, but rather when the Eidim came, they made a mistake and they said the Shira of Kol over the Musafim, because that's what it turns into when the Eidim showed up. So he rejects that idea. He says possibly the Eidim didn't come in the end. And that's why the only problem here was the Shir and not the Musaf, because they didn't have to bring Musafim. But in the Okanami, Musafim would be a problem. He also entertains the possibility, maybe you could separate out the Yayin or the Nisachim from the Korban itself. Because we know that you're allowed to bring a Qurban separate from the Nisachim, and the Shira is connected to the Yayin, and that would be separated from the Qurban. In the end, he says that doesn't work, because even though that may be true by Qurbanot Yachid, by Qurbanot Tzibur, you're supposed to bring the Nisachim right away, and you would have to say the Shira right away. In the end, he says that there was probably a problem with the Musafim, and they would have brought those after Tamid Shel Ben Arabayim if they had to. The real problem here was the Shir of Kol that was associated with the Tamid Shel Ben Arabayim. Others want to explain that the Shir here is just a Siman of the whole problem that was arising here. It was just a Siman, not includes the Musafim and everything else. It's just a question of what day it is, and once you have that, you have a problem with the Korbanot, and the Shira is just a way to indicate that problem, not saying that that was the sole problem that we have over here. Okay, we'll stop over here.